Hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam territory. My name is Lucy, and I am here this morning on the Student Special Hour. So welcome. For the next hour, we are going to be talking to Ashley from SASC, along with playing some tunes. So stay tuned and listen up. Thanks.
What you like, what I like, why can't we both be right? Attacking, defending, until there's nothing left worth winning. Your pride and my pride, don't waste my time.
Hello and welcome back. That was Alabama Shakes with Don't Want to Fight from their newer album, Sound and Color. Sorry. And we are here this morning with Ashley from SASC. How are you doing this morning, Ashley?
Good, thanks. How are you today?
I'm good. We were just talking a little bit before about how it's definitely a sleepier Friday. You had a pretty eventful ride into work today, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. I was sort of driving in, sort of listening to my music nice and loud, and then a car crashed in front of me, actually.
Oh,
but everybody was okay, so that was the main thing.
Good.
Yeah.
Everyone's not quite on their game on Friday, ready for the weekend, hey?
Yeah.
So you're here to talk about SASC. Can you just, I mean, there's it's such a lot to it, but can you just start with what is SASC?
Yeah, absolutely. So the SASC is the Sexual Assault Support Center. We're housed here in the Alma Mater Society in the student nest. We've been on campus now for about 13 and a half years, providing support to survivors of sexual assault, intimate partner violence, and harassment.
Wow, that is really, really cool. And so what kind of mandate do you follow? What is your main thing that you're trying to accomplish there?
Well, I think we try to accomplish quite a lot,
yeah.
Considering we're quite a small team. But our main priority is providing support to survivors. So we're located in the student nest up on the third floor. We're open Monday to Friday, 9 to 7, and Saturdays, 10 to 2, and we're available for drop-ins and appointments. We try to be as available as possible for folks needing support. And a big part of that support is also not just, you know, intervening when it comes to crisis and safety, but also looking at, you know, do folks want to make a report? Do they need any advocacy? It's quite a lot of different layers to the support we provide. So that's one piece of what we do, which is sort of integral to the center. But the other big part of what we do is sort of education and prevention work on campus.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that in first year housing, there was always some sort of, I think so, right? There was SASC giving out things and wanting to like really educate the first years on stuff like that. So that's really cool that you guys do that sort of thing. So I was reading up on your website a little bit and I saw this two-pronged approach. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I think the two-pronged approach really is sort of similar to what we were just talking about, that we really look at how we can do our best to support people and to create a safer, more caring community. And that kind of looks at the support piece and also like the education and prevention piece. And we do a lot of different programming. You know, as you said, we do things like boofing in residence, boofing in a lot of different places on campus. But we also do a lot of workshops. We're launching new programs. Just really trying to make people aware that the center exists, know that we're a safe place to come, and to get people to know more about our staff and about our volunteers.
Absolutely. And so repeat again for everyone who's listening, where can we find you?
Yeah, so we're in room 3127, which is in the student nest. It's located on the third floor. You can get there. It's right by the stairwell, right by the elevator. If you're coming in sort of through the entrance by like the sushi bar.
Okay, fantastic. So we're just going to take another break and listen to a Belle and Sebastian song called The Party Line. And we'll be back more talking with Ashley.
Stay. emotion. I am leaving many people feeling worse than before. People like to drive the cars and smoke up. People like to sit inside and talk up. People like to shoot at things with borrowed guns and knives. I am happy to look and run. Where were you when I was king in this part of town? Now the days of glory are gone. Jump to the beat of a party line. Jump to the beat of a party line. There is nobody here but your body, dear.
Hello, and you are listening to CITR 101.9. My name is Lucy, and you're here on the Student Special Hour. And we are talking with Ashley from SASK. And so we were just talking a little bit about logistics of SASK before, but we want to talk a little bit more about, well, first of all, the biggest thing that's happened at UBC probably this last year, which is the Nest. And so what's been your like big changes in the last year with moving to the Nest and everything?
Yeah, so we used to be in the old sub, and we transitioned into the new space in the Nest at the beginning of September. It was an interesting transition. It didn't go as smoothly as I'd have liked, but we are in a new space now, and it's nice and shiny.
I love it, yeah. Shiny. Everything's so clean and neat.
Super clean. And we have a much bigger support space, which I really appreciate, and it's actually soundproof, which is great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And as probably some of you folks have seen, there's lots of nice new furniture and just a little bit more space to move within the space. So yeah, it's good. We're happy to be over here and working within the space, and it seems to be quite a busy space, which is good. So
yeah,
and I think we're in quite a unique spot where we're still quite visible, but we're still quite discreet as well.
Yeah, I feel like that's important for your spaces to be a little off the track. But I remember before in the old sub, we were in the same CITR and SASK were in the same floor, and we were like that like back corner that no one really went to, and it was really hard to find. And I remember I walked by SASK almost every day, but because of that little, but because it was just right by CITR, I feel like it would be so hard for people to find before. So I used to joke about the CITR old station that you'd have to like click your heels three times to find it, because it was like we'd have people get lost and we couldn't, and they couldn't find us, and you know, all sorts of people late for interviews and stuff, because it's just in a big pain. So the one thing that I definitely say kudos to UBC for is the organization of the Nest. I think it was done really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might be a little, I might be partial because we're smack darn in the middle, but anyways. So you also mentioned that your hours had changed in the last year. So it was 9 to 7 now. Is that what you said?
Yeah. We used to be 9 to 5, but we received sort of some feedback that you know, it would be better if we were open a little bit later, or maybe at the weekends, just to be more accessible to folks who, you know, who don't have time to come by.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we're now open till 7 in the evenings and 10 till 2 on Saturdays throughout the academic year. So just trying to be more accessible to folks.
Yeah, absolutely. And if people are in class all day, it's giving them an opportunity to be there in the evening. And so have you had to extend your, grow your staff base because of this hours, or is it mostly just you adding on the extra hours?
Yeah, no, we have expanded. So we, there's myself who's manager full time. We also have an assistant manager, Josie, who's awesome. She's also full time permanent staff. And we have a part time outreach worker. And then a brand new position this year, we have a volunteer coordinator, which is great. And then we've also hired a part time support worker as well this year. So
fantastic.
Yeah, it's the biggest team we've ever had. We've got the most amount of volunteers we've ever had as well, who work so hard to support the work of the center, either through doing outreach or office work. So I'm really, really grateful to my team for the work that they do, and it's really great to sort of expand and look at what new projects and initiatives we can undertake.
Absolutely. And your volunteer system is really interesting. It's a little different than I've seen in other places. You guys have kind of a volunteer hiring at the beginning of the school year. Explain a little bit about that for maybe folks who want to get involved next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Our volunteer program's really awesome. We start recruitment sort of the beginning of August. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, once Imagine Day rolls around, we do a lot of boothing, try and promote the program. And the deadline's usually around the first Friday of the first week back at school, just because we want to get our volunteers up and running right away. So we do go through like application and interview processes. And then the folks go through a couple of days of training as well, which is also, it's a really good opportunity for folks to learn, but also for us to learn from them, and for them to decide what projects they want to undertake throughout the year. And it's a really good opportunity just to sort of meet with like-minded peers and get to know new people. Then after that, they have a monthly volunteer meeting where they have dinner. We might bring in an external community partner to do a workshop for sort of further learning and discussion. And yeah, like from all the feedback I've heard over the years, and I've been with the SASC about 3 years now, everybody really likes being a part of the program and is really grateful to meet new people. And
yeah, absolutely. It sounds great. I know our Women's Collective Coordinator, Elizabeth, is one of your volunteers, and she was speaking very highly of it. So that sounds fantastic. And so if you want to be involved, get right on it at the beginning of the year, because if you're like me and you are slow on the uptake, then you miss out on the deadline and you have to wait till the next year. So that's a great opportunity if you want to be more involved with SASC. So that's kind of the logistical running of SASC. And so what are some of the programs that you offer? You said you had some new programs, new initiatives coming up. Mm-hmm. What are some of those that you've got going on?
Yeah, so one of our biggest projects this year is the Creating Healthier Masculinities Leadership Program. So we were fortunate enough to get a grant from the Equity and Enhancement Fund to fund this new initiative. And actually, we've just sort of finished doing the recruitment for that. We had a couple of launch events and sort of did a lot of promotion to try and recruit male-identified students on campus to be involved in an initiative to look at how to create healthier masculinities, look at ending gender-based violence, promoting healthy relationships on campus. And this year, it's quite an organic process. Like, really, we've just tried to bring in some external, like, male-identified speakers just to sort of get people interested in the topic. And then once folks are a part of the program, they go through a couple of nights of training actually next week. And then they get to decide what ideas that they have for changing campus culture. So that could be maybe they want to do a video campaign or a poster campaign or...
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. And I know that the AMS is working very closely with the Thunderbirds football team this year. So we're potentially looking at how to sort of work with them as well to get the message out there. And we recognize that, you know, this program might not be a great fit for everybody that's male identified, but we're trying to be as flexible as possible and just really see where the program goes this year. You might have seen some of our t-shirts around. They've got the little bearded figure with flowers and
oh yeah love it. Yeah. Well, because that is kind of, at least in my optimal future, is a big part of what a great future of the world, I guess, but yeah, of our communities, is to be more open to all gendered people, other gendered people, anyone who really identifies anywhere that is outside the binary. So it's really, really fascinating to see you guys working on that and breaking that down. Mm-hmm. And so and you said it's going to be quite organic. How do you see that kind of looking? Do they find what they want healthier masculinities to look like? Mm-hmm. Or how do they kind of figure that out?
Yeah, so I'm really hoping through the training that takes place next Monday and Tuesday in the evening. We're bringing in some of our sort of campus experts on the subject. The Dean of Education is sort of starting off the training, and he's done a done a lot of work in the realm of masculinity. So he's really going to work with the folks to sort of see what their perceptions of masculinity is, how that shapes how they work in the world, how they function in the world, and sort of really maybe debunk some of those myths and stereotypes. And then also looking later on in the training at sort of mental health and the role that plays for male-identified folks. And then sort of looking into things like privilege and rape culture and some of those other pieces as well. And then after that, really, the organic piece is that they sort of get to take ownership over projects that they decide, either through the guidance of the SASC or if they'd rather work with sort of a male-identified mentor on campus, that's a possibility as well. Yeah, so it's sort of really seeing what folks want to do, how they want to be involved. And, you know, I think students have a lot of great ideas for what can be done on campus to create an awesome and caring space. So yeah, we'll just see what happens.
Absolutely. That's a lot of really exciting things coming up with to do with that. And I think what's really great about it is I often feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of these initiatives often attract more women than men. So it's really interesting that there's a program set up to encourage male identified people to be involved. And I think that's really important because, to be a little cheesy, but we all are in this together. So we've all got to, you know, be aware. And I think that's a very exciting project. And we're going to, in a second, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about similar projects going on campus. But before we do that, we're going to play a beginning song by the Decemberists. Thanks so much.
Let's commence to coordinate our sights, get them square to right, get them square to right. Condescend to call this riot in your mind, find yourself in time, find yourself in time. I am waiting, should I be waiting? And I am wanting, should I be wanting? When on your heart, start sunlight is the shadows, is the quiet, is the word, is the beating heart, is the ocean, is the boy.
Shanna Larson was a little girl, she already had artistic talent, and it was clear that she would be quite an athlete. But Shan always knew what she wanted to do with her life. She wanted to teach. Shan was only 24 years old when she lost her life to breast cancer, and now it's her spirit that will teach us. Teach us to know our risk. For more information, visit teamshan.ca. Breast cancer, not just a disease of older women.
Fall, which means the return of pumpkins, but not just pumpkin spice, actual pumpkins. On October 24th, from 3 to 6, come join Langara College business students at Southlands Heritage Farms in South Vancouver for pumpkin art for animals. All proceeds for this pumpkin painting fundraiser will go towards the BCSPCA. So come on down to support the animals, paint a pumpkin, do some activities, and eat some snacks. Admission is by donation with a minimum donation of $10 per person.
Hello and welcome back to the Student Special Hour. I'm Lucy and we're here with Ashley from the Sexual Assault Support Center. I want to make sure I got that right. Okay. I think I was calling it Sexual Assault Awareness Support. I was adding extra words in last time. Awesome. So we were talking about Healthier Masculinities program. So can you just do a little quick update on what we were talking about before?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Creating Healthier Masculinities Leadership Program, which I know is a super long title, but Healthier Masculinities for short. We've been recruiting male identified students on campus to want to get involved in this awesome initiative to look at creating healthier masculinities and looking at how to address gender-based violence on campus. So these folks are going to go through some training next week and then sort of look at what they want to do to try and impact campus culture.
Yeah, so we'll be looking out for that, see what we'll, like, that comes out of that, right? Because we'll be seeing that around campus, I'm hoping.
Yeah,
videos
absolutely.
Or posters or whatever we're going to see there. And also, you were mentioning that they have the T-shirts already with the silhouette with the flowers in the beard, I think, something like that.
Yeah. It's like our graphic designer for the AMS, Anthony, graciously designed a really awesome logo, which is it's sort of like a bearded figure with big glasses and flowers in the beard.
Yeah.
And it's quite eye-catching. And yeah,
I love it. Yeah, every time I feel like that's definitely a T-shirt that I'd wear. It's pretty sweet.
You can have one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. And then there's another program that you knew a little bit about that is also starting on campus, which is the through the sociology department. And I just bring it up too because it was mentioned in my gender relations class. Can you tell me a little bit about, do you know what that's about?
Yeah, I know a little bit about that. I don't want to speak too much to it, but it's reimagining manhood. Satalda Nitsan, who's a sociology instructor, one of your instructors, Lucy.
Yeah.
has sort of been working with some male-identified folks on campus over the summer, really taking a mentorship role. I believe now that there is a men's circle that's happening on campus, and that they've been hosting some workshops as well.
Yeah.
I know that they have a website, so you know, folks are interested in that, check it out. And we're also hoping through our new program to partner with them as well for certain initiatives. And
yeah,
ideas.
Absolutely. And I kind of used Ashley as a decoy so I could Google this because I wanted to know a little bit more about it. So it says here on the website, what does it mean to be a man in our changing world? How do aspects such as race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, body ableness, age, class, and the place in which we live impact the way we view and express manhood?
Mm-hmm.
How do these structures impact our friendships, intimate relationships, and our ability to meet our full potential as humans? And it goes on. But it's some really, really provocative questions, some really interesting things to think about. And I know that they do like you were saying, some sort of kind of conversation each month. Last time was binge drinking or like drinking culture. And they talk about all these topics and get students engaged. And something that I think is interesting, but I'm not too surprised at, is apparently at the last meeting that they had, mostly women turned up. So if you are interested in doing this, allies of the male identified cause is really important too. It's also really, really important to get men identified people out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, come on, guys. We believe in you. Healthier masculinities. We also have another program running at CITR, the Women's Collective, along with the Indigenous Collective and the Accessibility Collective, all of which are available to people who identify in that way, as well as allies. So those are another great ways of getting into things that are, you know, not pushing up, but helping up people who in our society that have not been given the opportunity before. Anyways, that's my little shameless advertising of the day. So continuing on, so anything else that you have, upcoming events or specific things that you guys have got going on?
Yeah. Coming up soon is the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which takes place on November 20th.
Mm-hmm.
The SASC is partnering with the GRSJ Undergraduate Society and Pride, UBC, and the Equity Office to look at creating some programming for that week. It's not finalized yet, but that's something to keep an eye out for. We're also going to be doing a screening of The Hunting Ground the last week of November as well, with a panel discussion to sort of bring it into more of a Canadian context.
Can you update people like me who actually don't know what The Hunting Ground is there?
Yeah, absolutely. So The Hunting Ground is a film that came out earlier this year. It's a documentary focused on sexual assault in college campuses in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. So I unfortunately didn't get much of an opportunity to see it. It was only screening in Cineplex for a week. But we've decided to bring the film here and to sort of have a discussion, bring it into more of a Canadian context.
Yeah.
So it talks about things like Title IX, which is a legislation that was implemented in the United States around sexual assault prevention on campuses. We think it'd be a really good opportunity to look at sort of like what's happening within our own Canadian systems and within our own college campus. Keep your eyes peeled for the dates for that. And then we're working currently on programming for SAM, which is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which takes place in January here at UBC.
Oh, wow. Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on. And in January, we'll be launching our new support groups. So you can find the information on our website, which is amssask.ca, but we're looking at having support groups on empowerment and wellness for folks who are supporting survivors, looking at a piece on healthier relationships, and also self-care for activists, because there's a lot of students who are working really hard on campus to try and implement change and a sort of fighting through resistance, and they also need a space to look at how they can take care of themselves and what some of the challenges are around
that. Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to care about other people when you're not in a space that you are necessarily as well as you can be. And I think that's really important. We've got a lot of go-getters on this campus, so it's important mm-hmm. to It's important to take care of yourself too. Well, that's really exciting. And so we're also working on going to be doing a day of programming for the Transgendered Day of Awareness. So that's really exciting to hear. We've been hearing mutterings, little whispers about your guys' project, but I'm really excited to hear more about that coming up. And so for the rest of the events that you were talking about, the information will be up a little bit later. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. So keep an eye on our Facebook page, which is AMS Sexual Assault Support Center. You can also keep track on our website, which is amssas.ca. And we tend to use for some of the big events that we do also promote through the AMS as well, through their social media.
Absolutely. And we'll see some posters or something going up as well.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to play a song by a local Vancouver band called Said the Whale. This is Okay, I Said the Whale from their album Hawaii, and we'll be back talking to Ashley Moore.
I laid a kiss upon your forehead that night. We laid awake and you wondered why I'd said I've never felt a kiss quite like this before. You said a kiss is a kiss, but it was never like this before. On your chest in the dark, you said to me that if it's only a spark, that could be the nucleus of flame. Well, then a flicker in the dark will start a good fire all the same.
Okay, 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 okay.
I've never met a girl. You and listen to your heartbeat rippling the water on the lake and the stars in the night sky and bright sparks. Okay, 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 okay. I never met a girl who thinks the way that
band competition is in its 30th year of promoting new local bands and providing great prizes. It happens every Tuesday at Pat's Pub and Brew House at 403 East Hastings. So come check out the talent while they compete to win studio time, features in Discorder magazine, buttons, merch, and more. Enjoy locally made beer, pool, and CITR DJs spinning after the bands. Shindig Night 2 is happening this Tuesday, October 27th, featuring Atlanteans, Owl Scowl, and Skyote. Cover is $5 at the door and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the food bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Stressed lately? UBC Yoga Club is here to offer you a peace of mind. Come out to any of our 17 weekly classes running 7 days a week, ranging from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. We have a class to accommodate your needs and abilities. Check us out at ubcyogaclub.com.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taking to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective. News 101 is Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced student and community newscast, bringing you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective. Tune in Mondays and Fridays at 5 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Live streaming and podcasts are available online at citr.ca.
Hello, and you're listening to CITR 101.9. I'm Lucy, and this is the Student Special Hour. We are still here with Ashley, chatting about SASC and all its wonderful services that it has to offer. Ashley's going to be heading out from the studio soon, but just want to do a little bit of wrap-up. What is SASC? Where can we find you? And kind of what kind of initiatives you guys have been working on?
Yeah, so the Sexual Assault Support Center is located in the Nest, room 3127 on the third floor. We provide support services to folks of all genders or non-conforming folks from Monday to Friday, 9 to 7, Saturdays from 10 to 2. We provide emotional support, but also campus legal, medical advocacy as well. So folks would like to report, or they want more information about academic concession, or they need to get connected to health services or counselling, we're happy to facilitate those pieces. And as I said earlier, we have a couple of new initiatives. We have our Creating Healthier Masculinities Leadership Program. In January, we're going to be launching our new support groups. And we have a lot of great educational and outreach events coming up. So stay tuned. You can keep an eye on our Facebook page, which is AMS Sexual Assault Support Center, or our website, which is amssask.ca.
Beautiful voice, born for radio. That was amazing. I just sat here in awe that whole time. It was great. And I just thought of a last minute question, because this is the work you do is really, really fascinating to me. I think it's really incredible. And I'm in the gender, race, sexuality, and social justice minor with a sociology and gender relations major. And I'm just really curious on like how your journey has brought you to be working at the UBC SASC.
That's a really good question. I've been at the SASC now for almost 3 years. I started off as the assistant manager and then moved into the manager role last year. Prior to that, I'd worked at WEVA, which is Women Against Violence Against Women, which is another rape crisis center in Vancouver. I'd done some work at WISH, which is supporting sex workers in the downtown east side, as well as working in sort of family shelters and women's shelters as well. For me, like I've also done like some employment counseling as well with more marginalized populations and folks with physical and mental disabilities. I studied cultural studies in university back in the UK. But I think I've always sort of known that growing up, I just wanted to do something to help people. And as I sort of got into feminism when I was at university, it took me in this direction. And it's a topic that I'm really passionate about. And Unfortunately, I've seen, I myself have not experienced violence, but I've had a lot of people close to me that have. So, and it's really tough to see people go through that and the huge impact that it has on people's lives. So as an imperfect ally to this work, like, I just want to support that cause and support the people that are going through that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I mean, just like, because even that you haven't experienced it, you have a opportunity to be there for people and do these other things, which is amazing that you've kind of basically dedicated your life, at least a big part of your life so far. Yeah, it's true. You're young. You're very young, so you got time. But no, this is fantastic. You've dedicated your life so far to this amazing, amazing cause, and it's so exciting to hear all these things that you've done, especially from someone who's in university and is excited about those kind of that kind of work as well. So really, really good stuff.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's I do recognize the privileges that I have. Like, I'm cisgendered. I'm white. I am straight. I do walk in the world differently to other people. So part of being an ally, and I say I'm an imperfect ally because of the privilege that I have. It's about trying to find ways to raise up other people's voices as well. And you know, at the SASC, I really like our values. We work from an intersectional approach, from an anti-oppressive approach, and that's really important to me. And I think hopefully resonates with folks within this community as well.
And I think it steers the conversation away from, I think, this idea of feminism that people have, that it's so angry and so, whatever these other stereotypes people have, because not only meeting you, but having experience with the SASC before, and everyone seems to just, it's so much, it's kind of, for me, it's like the epitome of what, a great inclusive future could be of all gender, all involvement, and coming from a place of love and coming from a place of caring and recognizing where we are privileged and where we can help out. And so it's really, really exciting to talk to you. And it's been a really, really great great hour talking with you today, Ashley. For any more information, you can reach Ashley at her AMS email, or go to the SASC website. What is it? AMSASC.ca. So if you want to learn anything more about SASC, want to get involved, want to use the services, that's all available to you. And it's been great having Ashley on the show today. This is the Student Special Hour. And from 10 to 11 on Fridays, come on and tune in on Fridays and listen to me yammer at you. And next week I'll be having the AMS Food Bank on to talk about some of the projects that they've been working on. So please tune in every Friday, 10 to 11. And I'd love to have you. So for the rest of our show, we'll just be playing some tunes for you. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. This is that's the last song. This is Mistakes by The River and the Road.
To this year, my friends, I try to write this while I'm sober, or it'll all fall to shit before it begins. The glass has slipped my skin. The drugs are quick, my head is spinning, so give me an hour before I need to jump back in. I'll carry all my mistakes, oh, what kind of home I could make, I don't know. Now, we'll be right back.
slipped, our hearts were speeding. The pavement had stained and dried in the midday sun. And all at once, no one was sleeping. And we're all afraid of what we've been running from. I'll carry all my mistakes. Oh, what kind of home I could make, I don't know. The only hope that it's me you think of when you fall.
Blacking in and out in a strange flat in East London. Somebody I don't really know just gave me something to help settle me down and to stop me from always thinking about you. And you know your life is heading in a questionable direction when you're up for days of strangers and you can't remember anything except the way you sounded when you told me you didn't know what I should do. It's a long road up to recover. Like every other day, and just like every boring blues song, I get swallowed by the pain. And so I fumble for your figure in the darkness just to make it go away. But you're not lying there any longer, and I know that that's my fault. So I've been pounding on the floor, and I've been crawling up the walls, and I've been dipping in my darkness with serotonin boosters, cider, and some kind of smelling salts. So I'm out up to recover. Well, darling, let's make a deal. If anybody ever asks us, let's just tell them that we met in jail. And that's a story that I'm sticking to like a stony-faced accomplice. But tonight I need to hear some truth if I'm ever getting through this. Yeah, you once sent me a letter that said if you're lost at sea, close your eyes and catch the time, my dear, and only think of me. Well, darling, now I'm sinking and I'm as lost and lost could be. And I was hoping you could drag me up and down here towards my recovery. Give me a sign, yeah, just a subtle little glimmer. Some suggestion that you'd have me. If I could only make me better, then I would stand a little stronger as I walk a little taller all the time. Because I know you are a cynic, but I think I can convince you, yeah, cause broken people can get better if they really want to. Or at least that's what I have to tell myself if I am hoping to survive. It's a long road up to recover. This will all be over.
Cue it up Wednesdays 3 to 4.
I mean, I just wanted to do a nice experimental music radio show and maybe throw in some feeling nice talking that anonymous, like, private body sense in your podcast. I mean, I think I can talk and that's good enough.
Fight or flight music sometimes for things that are not all right.
I just...
Radio essays and travesties, radio catechisms, half-baked philosophy and criticism. Experimental beat music, avant-garde, post-punk, industrial, noise, ad nauseum. Cue it up.